Anyhow, the lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight has, actually I met her back in 1974. That was before any of you were born. And we met through the church, because I found this church in 1969, and I guess she found it about the same time, I don't know. But the time that I remember is with her, she was getting her son baptized down at 2nd and Beach when we had that our church at 2nd and Beach. Now it's over in Old Town. On that little church that's on the hill over in Old Town is, you know what I'm meaning, everybody? Yeah. Over in Old Town, there's a church that's kind of hill right in the middle of, you know. That was our church. And we sold it to them, and of course, we got this place. But we've been in this place for quite a few years now. I can't tell you just how long, but been here for a long time. But anyhow, that's where I met Patty, the lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight. And her little boy now, that was just getting baptized, now has three children and lives in Ohio?
Chicago.
In Chicago. Can you believe how life changes for all of us? All of us, and sometimes you don't even know when it's changing, but it constantly changes. And that's okay, because we're growing, aren't we? That lady right there that came up and offered to sing this evening, I got to have some time with you sometime. Okay. Because you've been, you know, coming every so often, and I've never gotten acquainted with you. Okay. You agree with me? You know, God sent flowers in this garden called spirituality. You know, our little church is not churchy, but it surely is love-filled. And you would eat, I'm sure, be very surprised if I could tell you of some of the wonderful things that this little family, spiritual family, has done for others. You know, we're not a big, gigantic money foundation, but we have helped so many. This little church has helped so many. And that's all we need to do. We don't have to be, you know, we don't have to be out there, you know, supporting the entire world. But when given the opportunity to help whatever and wherever, all we need to do is do it, where you're by yourself or with a little group. And the lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight has been a nurse for, well, all her life. And she's a very respected nurse. But now that she is a little older, how she got old, because I was so busy I didn't notice. I was busy growing old, too. That's a lot of work. But she has, while she, I'm talking on, because she slipped into the bathroom while I'm talking. Penny. Yes. She kept her in that seat. So anyhow, Patty is wonderful, and she's a very strong support in our little church here. This church that we call Fraternal Spiritualist Church is just living lovingly. That's all. You don't have to get on your knees to talk to God, because you're talking to God every minute. He knows your thoughts as they go through your system. God hears them. So you're always talking to God. Wouldn't it be nice if people could really remember that? Do you think there might be some things that we wouldn't say if we thought God was listening? Maybe we would even try to watch our thoughts a little more. What do you think? Unless you think you're so pure that you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, nobody's perfect. You wouldn't be on earth. You'd be another room in the mansion of God. There's many, many rooms in God's mansion. So we would be on some other room where you draw through likeness. And your animals show you that. The cows like to stay together, and the pigs like to stay together, and the wolves and the sheep, and they all like to stay together, don't they? The draw of likeness. So look around the room. None of you were forced in here this evening. You have drawn through likeness. He said, well, how could be? I never even talked to them yet. How could I know how? Here, Patty, we're waiting for you, honey.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes, this is our Patty, our Irish Patty Walsh.
Thank you for waiting. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about Michael the Archangel. Last time I spoke, I talked about Archangel Raphael, who is the master healer. And tonight it'll be Michael. The Greek word for angel is messenger. Angels are considered to be messengers from God. And angels can be found in Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Zoroastrianus, something like that. Sorry about that. And Tibetan Buddhism. There are more than 300 direct mentions of angels in the Bible, if you care to sit down and count them sometime. Emanuel Swedenborg, the 18th century visionary, shared the belief that angels helped us. The opening lines of Psalm 104 talks about how God created the world. First there was light, followed by the heavens, angels, and then the earth. And angels are such powerful beings that the first words that the angel will usually say to you is, "Don't be afraid." Interesting. Angels bring joy, comfort, happiness to everyone who seeks them. Thomas Aquinas wrote that their will is by nature loving. And they are here to sustain everything in God's universe. Everything, even a humble rock or a cooling breeze. Fascinating. It's possible when you get a sudden flash of intuition, you are receiving a message from an angel. Interesting, isn't it? And we think we're just smart and we just pick up those intuitive flashes. Well, sometimes that's the truth too. This was fascinating to me. I often wondered who thought of hell. What a dastardly deed. Well, the Persian prophet Zoroaster, some 3,500 years ago, taught that angels and demons were opposing forces and came up with the concept of heaven and hell, which had such a major influence on all later religious thoughts. Kind of a shame, in my estimation. Archangels are the best known angels in the universe, and their word comes from the Greek Ashen, which means on top or to rule. So they are very strong. Okay, so when you look at four of the archangels, Michael will protect you and give you courage. That's wonderful. Raphael is the archangel of healing and wholeness. And he is awesome. I love working with him. Gabriel will provide you with guidance and the gift of prophecy. Uriel can grant you peace of mind and help you to be of service to others. Fascinating. And they all have a different directions, so they cover north, south, east, and west. But who is Michael? He is considered the greatest of all angels in Christian, Jewish, and Islamic traditions. Michael works ceaselessly to create a world of peace and harmony. He is the patron and protector of those who seek to have God in their lives. The name Michael is who is like God. He can be shown with a sword or holding the scales of justice. Have you seen pictures of him? Mm-hmm. Or seen him? Often the blue flame of protection surrounds the sword. And the key words for Michael are strength, truth, integrity, and protection. Strength, truth, integrity, and protection. He also provides sympathy, patience, motivation, and ambition. He's busy. He is busy. And you can call on him anytime you want help in any of these areas. And all of your archangels can be called upon at any time. And as I go through a little bit more about how he's seen in the world, I'm going to go through and tell you how he can help you get rid of karma. And that's karma that you may have developed over a series of lifetimes. And it holds you back from being who you really want to be. And he doesn't take it away from you, but he does show you what the cause is and what you can do about it. So it's still your responsibility to do something. And then the last part of my talk, I'm going to talk about how you can meditate to Michael on a daily basis if you choose. It takes about 5 minutes. And you develop a relationship with him over time. But you can call on him any time you want. You'll see. Is that my phone? I recognize my baby. You'll see pictures of Michael slaying the dragon. And who's the dragon? Lucifer. When you see that, it's Lucifer. And God said to him, because Lucifer wouldn't bow down to God. So he said, Lucifer, you and your buddies, it's time for you to get out. So Michael was the protector that actually helped drive him out of heaven. Interesting. So anything that is not positive and in accordance, he will move out of your way, which is really neat. And he says you don't have to be really pious or holy or worthy to have him help you. He said you were who you were at one time, you're different now, and he will work with you any way you are. Really neat. You know, when you look at God's world, it's always so kind. you know, for God to give us a guardian angel. I mean, is that the coolest? And then to give you archangels who are really powerful. Well, what a blessing. I mean, really, what a blessing. We're never left totally on our own to muff everything up if we choose to. But we always have someone around to help us, which is really neat. Well, the Catholic Church wanted people to pay attention to the archangels, and they were more interested in the saints, because the saints were people that had lived on the earth plane and had done heroic things, really, and went through suffering because they chose to recognize God. And so people looked at the saints as the ones who created miracles and did all the good stuff. And so the archangels were left out. So what does the Catholic Church do? They decided to make Michael a saint. That isn't funny to you, but it is to me. They just had to tweak the system a little bit. I thought that was really neat. So sometimes you'll see him listed as Saint Michael. And that's because they wanted him to be recognized. I thought that was really cool. And when Adam and Eve were taken, banished from heaven, who took care of them but Michael? He taught Adam how to farm, and he kept a watchful eye on the couple so that they would be protected. And he was around when Adam died. And I can't quite believe this, but they said he talked God into taking him into heaven and forgiving him. God would have done that anyway, I think. But that was nice of him. And he told Sarah, Abraham's wife, when she would bear a son. Fascinating. He was a busy fellow. And he became the archangel that guided people that were dying and going to heaven. And he would assess how they had done, if they had done more good things than evil, then he would say, yeah, we can bring you into heaven, and which is real interesting. So he became the protector and the one who helped people get over the hump of doing things that weren't as wonderful as they could have been. Interesting. Okay. Now, who did Joan of Arc work with? Archangel Michael. Did you know that? I didn't either.
You would think.
Yeah, with her sword. She started hearing him when she was 13. Can you remember back when you were 13? Well, none of us were real bright at that time, were we? Well, some of us could have been. She was. And Archangel Michael said to Joan of Arc, now pay attention to St. Catherine and St. Margaret, and encouraged her to free France from English domination. Interesting, huh? And she lived 1412 to 1431, just a few years ago. Fascinating. Fascinating. And you can see why she picked him. He was a protector, and he also carries the balance of justice. So he's real interested in integrity, honesty, and positive thought. Fascinating, huh? Yeah. In the Jewish religion, Michael is seen as the keeper of the keys of heaven and the protector of Israel. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. And he is the protector of the Hebrew nation. So he's not just in the Christian world. He's extended beyond that. Michael can speak a million languages. I didn't know there were a million languages. He has long saffron hair that reached to his feet. He never knew a barber. And he lives in the seventh heaven. Someday we'll know where that is. And he has wings of green topaz. Amazing. And he's identified with two other saints, Saint Peter and Saint George. And he and Peter both hold the keys of the kingdom. That's pretty interesting too. Now this is real interesting. He and George both slew dragons, the well-known symbol of Satan. So, in the Tabori, a 9th century Arabic historian, related the story about Michael and St. George. Michael rescued George from persecution of the emperor. I'm going to mess his name up probably. Diocletian? If you know, you can correct me.
Might be Diocletian.
Oh, that sounds better. It probably is, Tom.
That was around 300.
Okay.
He was the last pagan after, well, before Constantine.
Oh, great. Well, Diocletian took a number of attempts to kill St. George for his hanging on to the Christian faith. And listen to some of the things that he tried, and everything he tried, Michael rescued him. First, he put him on a plank and was scraped with iron combs. Well, that'd wreck your skin. And then, well, yeah, it would, wouldn't it? I mean, how cruel. And then he was bound hand and foot and had a marble pillar placed on his back. It was so heavy that it took 20 men to lift it. And Michael rescued him from that. And George was cut in half, and each half was divided into 7 pieces, and they were all thrown to the lions. The lions wouldn't eat him. And so Michael put all that, his whole body, back together. Diocletian was a dastardly devil, wasn't he? Woo! And then the emperor placed George inside of a hollow statue and had that bake for 3 days. And Michael broke the statue and rescued George. I mean, how could he have done that? You would have been cooked after 3 days. You know, when you listen to these stories, they seem beyond credibility. Well, George remained resolute in his Christian faith, and finally God took pity on him and brought him to heaven. Whew, thank goodness. In 1950, Pope Pius XII proclaimed Michael the patron of policemen. And one of my friends whose brother was a policeman said, yep, she remembers that. Michael will provide you with courage whenever you need it, as he has an unlimited supply, as you could see with St. George. Amazing. He also eliminates negativity. He purifies the negativity from our hearts and minds, enabling us to carry on with lives in a positive manner. How wonderful. Because we all get into some negativity at some time or another. And some of us more than others. And so he's there to help us with that. And Michael is the guardian of karma. And karma is just the end result of what you've done. And here they're talking about negative karma. So he will give us the courage to deal with our own karma. And he will tell us what caused the karma in many lifetimes. Because some of the karma you'll see going for generations. And then you'll see one person that breaks it up, which is wonderful. So he gives you the knowledge of what the karma causes. And then he gives you the courage to be able to deal with it. So when you look at anyone in the world that's dealing with a recurrent troubling process, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's hating certain people, and to know that that can be changed if the person is willing to ask Michael for help and willing to work on it. So it's that this is the thing that I like, is that it's never, if you've done something that's not helpful or that is bad, it never has to stick on you like glue. You can get rid of it. Hallelujah. I mean, that is just amazing. And some of the things you might know or you might not be aware of can go over different lifetimes. And the next level of consciousness that we will go through, we will know why one life followed another, and what we were learning in those lives. But right now, you can talk to Michael, and I'll tell you what the meditation for releasing the karma is about, and then you can try working on that. What a joy to have that information. So, he says, get yourself comfortable. Sit in a recliner-like chair, or he says, don't lie down in bed because you'll probably go to sleep. That's me. Focus on your breathing for a minute or two. Take slow, deep breaths, holding the breath for a few moments before exhaling. Feel your entire body relaxing. Now, some of you have done this kind of breathing. And it does relax you. Take as much time as you need for this first phase, because you really do need to get your whole body relaxed. Visualize yourself then surrounded by a powerful ray of healing white light that completely fills the room you're in. So image that, filling the room you're in, and then expand that to your town. Then expand that to to the country and to the world. And you're still going through this relaxing breathing as you're doing that. After each exhalation, imagine that you are sending healing energy to the whole world. That's cool. I tried doing that while I was driving. That's not real smart. You get a little relaxed. Now it's time, when you've done that, now it's time to call on Michael. So you're still lying or sitting peacefully, breathing slowly, until you become aware that Michael is with you. Now, thank him for his guidance and protection, and then tell him what you want to resolve of some of the karmic factors that have been holding you back and preventing you from moving forward in this lifetime. Ask him to show you some specific examples, both from this life, lifetime, and previous incarnations. Continue to relax and see what happens. You may see images, you may sense certain occurrences, and you may feel a tightness in your chest or an urge to cry. But he says, try not to do anything, just be quiet and allow everything Michael is prepared to show you. Be totally non-judgmental. Don't be alarmed. You were a different personality then. So don't judge yourself. Absorb the information and thank Michael. Ask him what you can do to release the karmic blocks that are affecting your life, and you may receive an immediate answer. Or sometimes something may appear clear in your mind, or you'll have clarity of the situation. By the time you finish the meditation, you will know exactly what steps to take to start releasing any negative karma. Or the answers may come to you in a few days. And then thank him again. And take three more deep breaths, exhaling strongly. And you just picture that energy going out and healing the world. Now he says, what if you don't pick up any karma? Does that mean you have none? No, it doesn't. None of us are perfect. None of us are. Oh, okay. I'll be done in a minute. So he said, why do you think you didn't pick up something? It could have been that you weren't relaxed enough. So the next time, try that part again. Or you may not have taken the subject seriously enough. Or it may be unduly stressful for you at this time to know that information. So he doesn't give it to you. But it doesn't mean that you don't have any karma. It just means try again. Yeah. So, next time, I'll tell you how you can contact Michael. It's much like that meditation. It's very similar. But he is there for all of you to have help you to enjoy him and to learn to live your life to the fullest and the happiest. Thank you very much. Thank you.